Coming to you from our studios in Dallas, Texas, and recorded live, Science News is on the air right now.
This is the promise of tomorrow, where people and industry keep up with the business of emerging and nanotechnologies. The fields covered in this series of programs will include energy, defense, aerospace, medicine, semiconductors, and more. For the next hour, Colonel Mason will introduce his experts, and you'll be on the cutting edge of the promise of tomorrow.
And it's so good to be with you again as we explore the exciting world of the business of emerging science. A real fun program today. Very, very fun and exciting. We're covering a lot of things that are going on at PITCON. You know, the conference that goes on at the Pennsylvania Convention Center is going to be held March 17th through the 21st in the spring. And the PITCON exposition is pretty darn exciting. We're going to be doing a lot of coverage of that. And there's a number of short courses that are being offered at PITCON that are an excellent way to enhance professional development. They're also quite affordable, so we're pretty excited about that. You can learn more about PITCON at our website, promiseoftomorrow.biz. On the right-hand side of your screen, you'll see a link to PITCON, and you can learn all about the PITCON courses. They're really fun. Career development, that's something that, of course, is very important. Something we talk about on this program a lot, energy and food science, and of course, if you've been listening to us, we like to get into forensics once in a while, and green chemistry. So you'll find all of those in the courses. We've got today a gentleman, Bob McDowell, who teaches four of those courses, and he's going to tell us about them, and he's really funny. You know, we talk to so many people on this program, and the scientists are so interesting in many ways, but it's hard to find one with a really great sense of humor. And Bob McDowell lives in southeast London, and he is so funny. Anyway, we really enjoyed speaking with him, and you'll get a chance to meet him in just a little while. So check out those conferences when you get a chance. Leadership management, nanotechnology, patents, and intellectual property, pharmaceuticals, polymers, regulatory, all sorts of different things. So you can find, as I say, more about that at the PITCON website. And I want to remind you that those of you listening on radio can also hear us commercial-free online at promiseoftomorrow.biz. And, of course, that's the same place where you can do a link to the website for PITCON and learn all about them. Then we're going to visit the Den of Strangers at the end of the first half hour. And then in the next half hour, visit our Fountain of Useless Information and get more questions that are hard to answer. And Stuart Jones is coming aboard. He's with True Energy. He's doing Sure Chill. Sure Chill keeps medications cool in third world countries where there's no other cooling solution. And you're going to find that pretty darn interesting, too. And, of course, at the end of the program, listener comments and the voice of reason. But right now, let's dial up today's guest. What do you say?
Stand by.
Well, as you know, by listening to this program, that we've been giving some press coverage to the PITCON convention going on in Pennsylvania, the Pennsylvania Convention Center in Philadelphia, March 16th through the 21st. They've got some really exciting courses being taught there, and we managed to connect with one of the more interesting course teachers, Bob McDowell. He's on the line with us from Southeast London, and Bob is a is head of his own consulting firm, but it was really remarkable history. He comes out of the pharmaceutical industry, 30 years specifying and implementing computerized systems in the regulated analytical laboratory, 25 years validating computerized systems for the FDA and the EU regulations. And, of course, many of you may know Bob McDowell as the writer of the Questions and Quality column for LCGC Europe and Focus on Quality column for Spectroscopy magazine. Welcome to the program, Bob. So good to have you.
Hi, Carl. Thanks very much for the introduction, and I'm looking forward to this.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you at the PITCON conference, and, of course, they've got some really great courses that are being taught, a whole bunch of them. But there are four in particular that we're interested in that you're teaching, and I wonder if maybe you can give us a sort of an outline of some of the things you're going to be discussing during these courses. Would you like to start with designing and implementing the electronic laboratory?
Yes, thanks very much, Carl. I'm going to be teaching designing and implementing the electronic laboratory because many people don't have the time to sit back and look strategically at how to implement an electronic lab. It used to be called a paperless lab, but I'm not certain we can actually get rid of all the paper, which is why I tend to look at electronic workflows. And one of the things is to think about all the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle. We've got laboratory information management systems, scientific data management systems, electronic labs, chromatography data systems, and other instrument data systems, and of course there's Excel. How do these all fit together? Or do they? Can we take and build a strategy for implementing the lab, for the electronic lab, and then implement it system by system? And can get that, how do we implement the systems so that they comply with applicable quality guidelines or regulations working against the pharmaceutical industry, healthcare industry, for both Food and Drug Administration and European Union regulations?
Well, now designing and implementing the electronic laboratory is going to be a pretty big chore. Everybody's, you know, been used to all the hard copies all of these years and keeping these vast records and things like that. What are some of the major obstacles that that we'll encounter when we decide to implement the electronic laboratory?
I think, firstly, certainly when you're looking at the pharmaceutical industry, it is a very conservative industry. People love paper, especially quality assurance people.
Yeah.
And moving them away from working in their normal ways that they're used to and tried and trusted to possibly a different way where you have no tangible thing that you can hold, but you just look at a screen, is a change. The technology is there, but we also have to consider the people. And it's getting the people on side and persuading people to change their ways of working that is really the critical thing here.
Well, what about quality assurance? I mean, if you're going to get away from the paper and you're getting to the electronic, isn't there going to be some concerns of being able to manipulate the data in ways that may not be reliable? Is that one of the problems that you're facing with implementing the electronic laboratory?
That's a very good point, Carl. I think this is a key concern that both quality assurance have and the regulators at the Food and Drug Administration and the European Union. Can you fake the data? And one of the things that we have to look at is the purchase of systems that actually do not allow users to fake the data, manipulate the data unless it is validated, or even go behind the application and play around in the operating system. So we have to ensure as part of this that all the transactions that we do, from acquiring the data at the lab bench to producing the final report, is managed in a way that ensures the integrity of data and that the records that we generate are trustworthy and reliable.
All right, so that's part of what you're going to teach at this course at PITCON is making the data, designing and implementing the electronic laboratory, but you're also going to make sure that you're going to teach and how the data can be validated so it's acceptable then to these different agencies. Is that part of the course?
That will be a little part of the course. There's another course that myself and a colleague, Chris Burgess, teach, which is the integrated approach to analytical instrument qualification and computerized system laboratory.
Oh, really?
And this is a two-day course, which we will be teaching on the Saturday and the Sunday of PITCON, and that brings together two elements that have been going on over the past couple of years. My colleague Chris is a member of the United States Pharmacopeia Council of Experts, the USP, and there has been a general chapter available since 2008 called General Chapter 1058 on analytical instrument qualification. And Chris and I have put in January 2012, a stimulus for review paper to change the way the general chapter works. At the same time, we've been working with the GAMP forum. GAMP stands for Good Automated Manufacturing Practice, and we have been contributors to the new version of the GAMP Laboratory Validation of Laboratory Computerized Systems Guide that will be shortly published at the end of 2012. So in this two-day course, you have the opportunity of being taught by people that have been trying to harmonize United States Pharmacopeia General Chapter 1058, as well as people working on the team for producing the GAMP Good Practice Guide, so that we try and have a single approach to analytical instrument qualification and computerized system validation. So, to answer your question, the electronic lab will touch on data integrity. The more detail we'll go into on validation will be the two-day integrated course on analytical instrument qualification and computerized system validation.
Well, you're actually doing four courses, I'm told by our friend Marion Nardozzi, designing and implementing the electronic laboratory we covered here just a few minutes ago. And now you've gotten into integrated analytical instrument qualification and computerized system validation, AIQ and CSV. Did we, you know, I don't want to overlook anything. What about this writing testable, testable and verifiable user requirements for computerized laboratory systems? That's one of the courses that you're covering also, isn't it?
Yes. I've been running courses at PITCON since 1990, and I've become more and more interested in actually teaching people rather than attending some of the lectures there, because I get more interest from a personal perspective at training people.
Wow.
Than listening to lectures. But the biggest problem with people in the labs is they can be seduced by technology. You have someone from the vendor who comes in and says, this system will do this, that, and the other, or indeed, you can get people attending PITCON themselves, walking around the exposition booth, and they'll see something nice and flashy, and they'll say, ah, I've got to have one of these. The problem is, what's your business needs? What are your regulatory needs? And one of the biggest problems is, many, many people have purchased stuff, and I include myself in this, based on what the salesman told me, or I haven't written down my requirements, or I've just looked at the literature and gone out and bought something. In today's age, you can't waste money like that. You've got to be absolutely certain that you can deliver what you're buying. It does what the intended purpose is. So the course is aimed at getting people to write requirements, mainly for computer systems, but also for instruments, so that you can actually make an objective purchase and also update the system, the requirements to reflect the system you've bought, and validate it as well. So this is the front end of a validation course.
Wow, seduced by technology. That's a great concept, Bob. I hadn't heard anybody quite put it that way before. And this course that is writing testable and verifiable user requirements for computerized laboratory systems, or laboratory systems, as we say here in the States, and this is going to kind of protect us from being seduced by technology, and really so that we can acquire the kind of systems and the kind of tools that we really need for whatever project we're working on. I think that, does that about sum it up?
That sums it up very nicely, Carl. I think that's a good simple process for summarizing my course. Yes.
Now, how long does that particular course take? Did you say that's a two-day course?
No. That's a one-day course. We'll start at 8:30 on the Thursday, and we'll run through till about 5 o'clock, or when everyone's tired enough to listen to me talking, or have finished doing all the workshops that we'll be conducting during that day.
Well, these courses kind of complement each other. I mean, we were talking just a minute ago about the integrated analytical instrument qualifications and computerized systems validation, and that sort of fits into it too. But it really is in itself a separate course, I think, isn't it?
Oh yes. I've tried to put together these courses so that there's a degree of interest. I've actually had a few people in past PitCons that have attended 5 days of these courses because they found them very interesting. We also have a fourth course, as you mentioned, which is about raw data, reportable values and results. And of course, we can have all of the computerized systems, all of the analytical chemistry and instruments that have been qualified and validated, but they still have to produce good quality results that you can base good decisions upon. And in this two-day course, my colleague Chris Burgess and I will be looking at three types of system: a simple paper-based environment, mm-hmm. a fully electronic environment,
okay.
and what we would call a hybrid or heterogeneous environment, where we're dealing with paper and electronic records.
Oh, I see, combined.
And in this two-day process, or two-day workshop, mm-hmm. we're going to take you through the process of ensuring the integrity of the data. So although we'll start with a two-day course on analytical instrument qualification and computer system validation, linking it all together with the electronic lab, making certain we've written the right specifications, it's really this raw data, reportable values and results that brings us up to the real world of actually working in the laboratory and analyzing samples, generating data, reducing the information down to results, and reporting them.
Wow, so this is really a total picture. I mean, working with the hard copies, the documents, and then and combining that with the electronic laboratory, and working with them both, and then finally writing the final query, or writing testable and verifiable user requirements for computerized laboratory systems, and then that kind of sums up the whole bevy of the four courses. Is that right, or what have I missed here?
I think you've got it spot on, sir. We're thinking we were trying to put together a series of building blocks that comes down to is how we start with the system, how we buy the system, and here's how we deliver good quality, trustworthy, reliable results. And you've summarized it very, very nicely.
All right. Now, the kind of people that are going to be interested in this course, off the top of my head, I can think of any number of people. In fact, is that the courses ought to be vitally interesting to a lot of people. But let's explain more succinctly for us, for those of the audience who may wonder if this is the kind of courses that they ought to be taking. Who are you targeting then exactly with these courses?
We're targeting people who obviously have an interest in this subject, in these four courses. Mm-hmm. Essentially, we would probably anticipate analytical chemists, as that's the primary aim of the conference. We will be looking at quality assurance people as well. We found in the past that vendors from companies exhibiting on the floor will come along, and also information technology people or NIS people from various companies, because there's an element there of IT running through a number of these courses. Mm-hmm. And also we find that other consultants come along and contribute to these courses. I would say that rather than, although we call them short courses to be consistent with the programs,
okay,
we try and put into these short courses a lot of interactive and workshops, so that it's not just sitting there and getting PowerPoint poisoning. Here's the principles, let's do a workshop, review the output of the workshop, and discuss and reinforce the principles. And I think one of the things that is important is that while I may be teaching a course, I may not be the fount of knowledge of everything, and what I look for from my own personal development are people who attend those short courses and give me their versions based on their company's experience. And you can really build and have a very fruitful day when you have this interaction with people.
PowerPoint poison. Bob, you are so funny. All right, well, we want to do a wrap-up with you after the break, so please stick around. Okay, as we walk to the break at the half hour, we're going to pause at the door of the Den of Strangers, where we keep locked away all the wisdom of mankind. Whom in the Den of Strangers will we meet today? It's Franklin Roosevelt. Woo!
These Republican leaders have not been content with a pat on me, or on my wife, or on my son. No, not content with that. They now include my little dog, Sally. Well, of course, I don't resent the fact and my family don't resent a tax. But Paula does resent a tax.